tune by Charlie Chaplin titled The Peace Patrol. Sifting through the internet, here's what we find. Jeff Boehm wrote and directed the 2006 short film titled Charlie Chaplin's Body, a black and white comedy based on the real-life theft of Charlie Chaplin's corpse in 1978. The film is presented in the style of a silent film comedy, the kind that were popular during Chaplin's career. The facts of the real-life story are these. Following Chaplin's death in Switzerland in 1977, his coffin was stolen from its grave by two unemployed mechanics who demanded a $600,000 ransom from his widow, Una. Una refused to pay the ransom, stating that Chaplin would have found the demand ridiculous. After an 11-week police investigation, the two men were arrested and led authorities to Chaplin's body, which they had buried in a nearby cornfield. To prevent any future theft attempts, Chaplin was reburied in a new grave encased in reinforced concrete. The tale caught the imagination of Jeff Boehm, and we can understand why. Here's what has been said about Chaplin and his thoughts about life. His work centers on humanism, resilience, and compassion, expressed through a blend of comedy and tragedy. And keen social observer that he was, Chaplin used his art to criticize the powerful and acknowledge the dignity of the common person in the face of hardship. So, a real-life crime story that brings together one of the great comic artists of the 20th century with a comically misguided theft fit Boehm's sensibilities to a T, as we'll learn. Jeff Boehm is an award-winning filmmaker and playwright who has a number of full-length dramas to his credit. He's been a film critic and a commentator as well. And in 2016, his third play, The Judas Sheep, was presented at the Diva Theater in Scranton. The piece went on to win two Northeastern Pennsylvania Theater Alliance Awards for Best Original Production and Best Supporting Actress that year. Now, almost a decade later, The Judas Sheep will open at the Diva Theater, directed again by Paige Politsky, running the next two weekends. Jeff Boehm stopped in at the WVI studios to talk about the show and to say a bit about his writing life.
Out of college, I worked in nonprofit locally and then decided, because I was a pocket client of a literary agency, I would take that treasure trove of screenplays and go out and sell them and, you know, light cigars with $100 bills because that's just the vision. I'm being cynical, but I literally got offered a job in the mailroom at New Line Cinema. But I just felt that wasn't for me at the time. And I was kind of running away from stuff, too. And I came back and started doing stage plays. I wanted to reverse engineer my career. Maybe take some screenplays and work them out on stage first before we, you know, took them to another medium. But I found that I really enjoyed it. And, you know, it took me a while to get going in the local community because there are people who have been doing it much longer than I. And at the time, certainly deserved a spot. But I deserved a spot, I felt, coming in the mid-20-teens. And that's when we first did this play, The Judas Sheep, in 2016. It followed on the heels of the Behind the Six, which about in 2015. And we did a revival of that one last year. And in between, we did two other plays, two feature length. And I've been writing screenplays and other things ever since and working on some projects. And of course, I did my syndicated movie review column for the Time Shamrock, and that dovetailed into PA Live, which I enjoyed a nice 8-year tenure on. And now I'm exclusively at WNEP, Fall Movie Preview. Lots of good stuff going on, Erica.
Tell us about your partnership, friendship with Paige Politsky.
Oh, my God. 25 years we've been working together. And the only time I said no to Paige was I accepted a job at the time with Scranton Tomorrow. But she had offered me a role in A Few Good Men, what would be the Kevin Bacon role for the movie. And I said, no, I'm sorry. I've accepted a position at this job. I want to concentrate on that. And she was on the board. She said, I fully advocate this decision. And she did my short play, one-act play, Charlie Chaplin's Body, which she later produces a film for me. And when Paige finally got a really good venue, being the Old Brick Theater in North Scranton, she said, what do you got? And God, we've had an award winning, thanks to them, thanks to the people I work with. And thank you, Sold Out House is a run. Again, thanks to the people I work with.
You have many interests. We know popular culture, you're interested in that, Charlie Chaplin and films. What was the spark? What was it that made you say, I could do something with that subject?
That's interesting you asked that. I have a very crazy subsection here. I enjoy true crime, which, of course, just name it there. Everybody's got a podcast on true crime these days. So it's a popular subject. But this is back in the 80s. I was already developing a love for this. But the cross section here that's strange is I also love the classic comedians like Charlie Chaplin. So I have this crazy comedy with true crime. And our play is not a comedy, but my play always incorporates comedy because life is comedy. And it's funny. My play, Saint of Darkness, I interviewed the participants of this very famous police case. And, you know, I asked the police detective who was in charge of this, the jogging rapist case of Philadelphia. And I asked him, what TV show comes closest, you know? And I said, Hill Street Blues, come on, something hard hitting him. He says, you know what? Barney Miller. He says, because if you didn't laugh, you'd shoot yourself. And he was literally correct. He said, you need that perspective. So that's where this cross-section craziness comes from, true crime and the classic comedians. And yeah. So to answer your question more in depth, it's based on a real-life case from 1981 in Skidmore, Missouri. A gentleman who was such a town bully, a scourge, and his crimes included rape, murder, thievery, I mean, you name it, and over several times. And the town had been stonewalled at courts, and they just found themselves with no way out. It was a desperate town to begin with, not a lot of economy. And I think you know where this is going, In Broad Daylight. In fact, that was the name of a book and a TV movie based on it, which I've never seen or read, by the way, because I don't want to taint. But this was the seed. This was the seed for me, because it wasn't about him. And by all accounts, I'm not an advocate at all for capital punishment, but this man seemed to get what he deserved based on the desperation of these people. But I thought about the people who had to decide to do this. And so in my story, It's people who were voluntold, not volunteered, from the town to go in and decide what they're going to do and how they're going to shape this. And I'm not going to say how it ends, but it could be different. But I don't know Missouri very well. I've only been through it once. But I know Texas pretty darn well. I have relatives there. I've been through pretty much every corner and every part. I know that's saying a lot, too, because it's a huge state. Everyone but Austin. Everybody tells me I get to Austin. But so I know the community, that area, much better than Missouri. And I was able to pinpoint and put characters there. So, yeah, that's where we set ours.
How many are prominent? How many in the cast? And who are the movers and shakers?
Yes. So we have a cast of, it's actually seven people. And I'll tell you what, the setting, I say eight because the setting is kind of like a character. They're in a VFW in this town. You know, we have John Michael Brennan as the lead, Vic Turret, and he's a Vietnam War veteran who took 9 years getting back to town and won't tell anybody about his background. A lot of disillusionment there. His brother, Mac, is played by Eric Lutz, who I've worked with a number of times, and Eric is the former town marshal who hung up his star because he's a former football star who kind of got the position just on glory and past glories, let's say. And he's not really up to the challenge, but he's a good-hearted person. Liz Narrow plays Pudge Persimmons, whose husband was killed by this town bully. But she's a big believer in the Bible. This is the Bible Belt. Remember where they are. And she is holding fast to that and not trying to make rash judgments. Harry Powell is a Sheriff Longcash, who starts out the piece and tells you exactly why you're here. And David Spitzer, the only returning cast member from the previous version, is Denny Coolbaugh, who was put in a wheelchair by the town bully and won't talk about it. But he talks about a lot of other things. There's no flies in his mouth. Melissa Uchik plays Almeda Jane, the wife of the town bully, who has a lot to say. And lastly, Mark Dunzavich is the pastor, Pastor Carver, who wants to steer the whole flock in his own direction and tries to use the good book to do that. So you have all these cross-sections, these differing opinions, these differing backgrounds in the Bible Belt where the law of the West presides, and they have to come to a caucus to decide what they're going to do with this this mutual problem.
Where does the propulsion come from the advancement of their opinions and coming to the conclusion at the end? Is there any action other than their being confined to this space?
Yes, there is action in that they do leave the VFW and do have some interaction. I won't say to what degree or what happens. And even though you may not see it, you understand pretty much everything that's going on. And We have some great sound design. We have some great set design that, again, not based on me. I work with such great people. And for instance, my assistant director, Sandy Hailstone, and also Maggie Roche, my stage manager. I wouldn't be anywhere without. I'm a giant because I'm on the shoulders of great women, Paige and Maggie and Sandy. And so if you come and see it, or the people who do come and see it, what you don't see, you see regardless.
If people don't know the Diva Theater, it is a small black box type space.
Yes, you might feel like you're in Brooklyn. I mean, a black box is a perfect way to say it. And some people might be expecting a bigger venue. I don't want that. I want the intimacy. I want everybody to have a discussion. I'm not forcing any politics or anything, but believe me, I'm the last person to ever do that. But we did premiere on Veterans Day in 2016, the week of a contentious election. And here we are again, and I won't tell you what side of the dime I fall on, but if you are anywhere on social media, you know that there's a little bit of disagreement out there. So there might be some discussions, either way. I put a lot of opinions that may necessarily be mine in there. But when I was in California, I used to go to bars. I make it sound like I just hang out at bars. No, most of the times I wouldn't even have a beer. I would sit there and I'd listen to people talk. And that's how I got to do my dialogue, is just listening to people talk and how they have the discourse. So hopefully that comes out in this.
And you do very well with working class people, creating people of the earth.
Yes, thank you. I do tend to put most of my characters, pull them from the working class. It's where I grew up. I certainly have done my fair share of being in that position proudly. And there's times when I, barely scrape by, and it's just where I can pull from the most. And if I ever try to write about something that I don't necessarily understand, I've been patted on the back and told that I write female characters so well because I don't try to punch above my weight class. I really try to listen and ask questions and try to get it from someone else's perspective. So I get the character down pat, and the same with, be a white collar, what have you. I really try to get to the marrow of it and not try to overstep my bounds.
The title is intriguing, and it is a real world term. Tell us what the term means in practice, and you don't have to tell us why you chose it, but you can imply for, and we can infer why you chose it.
Yes, the title, it, of course, has biblical allusions of Judas, the betrayer. And in slaughterhouses, sheep are they're apt to follow, as people who are animal lovers or people who work in a slaughterhouse, unfortunately, might know. And the white sheep will follow the black sheep most often if they get it to charge in a certain direction, charge to the slaughter. So maybe I'm being too heavy-handed with that title, but people seem to like it. It's certainly served me well. People say, it's catchy. Catchy maybe not be the best word, but, it does stay with you, and that's not my words. That's other people have told me.
The image that you have for your poster and your cards is, who created that? Are you a graphic artist too?
I wish I was that talented, but you know what? The great Tony Susi actually designed this, and I gave my input and told him what I would like put on the card, and he took that and went with it and made it something much more. Just like my buddy Sam Fabel, who was the lead in the previous version of Judas Sheep, has done the set now for the latest. And I tell you, I put an idea out there, and I said 70s, yellow, brown, wood paneling. And God, if you stepped into that theater, Erica, you would be going back in time. It's quite amazing. Thanks to Sam.
One of the important things we get even from the card for the play is hot, heat, sun, hell. We're going into some infernal place, perhaps, but it gives a sense of...
There are some laughs in it. I always inject some humor, but it is a contentious environment when you're in this controlled pressure cooker, and you have to come out with a solution to something that's you think is going to probably go one way. And of course, Vic, being a Vietnam veteran, who his background is from My Lai, so you kind of know what position they want him to take or what action they want him to take, and he's not necessarily going to follow that sheep, if you get my drift.
Did you change anything from 2016 to now?
That's a very good question. Yes, I did. I take notes with every show, and I go back and I change them into screenplays, which has been adapted into a screenplay. And I went back and made some changes. And even over this production, I made some small changes. But us writers are a very fickle group. We can work on something forever, Erica. You take me in here at 90, and I will still be working on the Judas. But you have to put an end point and say, it's done now. And after this, I always say the first production you can take notes from. And by then, if you don't have your final draft done by then you get out of the business. So, yes, this is the final.
Do you consult with Paige? Do you go to rehearsals?
Yes, it's a very good question. I have always taken a great hand in it because I'm also the producer. And so I'll work with Paige. I buy the props. I okay everything. I have empty liquor bottles in my car, which if someone goes out there and sees it right now, no, it's not what you think. We need bottles for the VFW. And you know, unfortunately, I lost my mother-in-law 2 days ago. And so I have not been involved as I would like to. But when you have this great support behind you, things have been going swimmingly. Because I do have such a great support system. So we are forging ahead, and next week is, I hate to use this term, but Hell Week. And I will be there, and she will be there in spirit, and we are going to put on the most fantastic production you'll see this fall.
Playwright and filmmaker Jeff Boehm from northeastern Pennsylvania speaking with us about The Judas Sheep, his third full-length drama that will be taking place at Diva Theater this weekend and next. The Old Brick Theater, 126 West Market Street in Scranton, and the shows will be the 12th, 13th, and 14th. The 19th, 20th, and 21st. So the shows the 12th, 13th, and 19th, as well as the 20th at 7:30 p.m., September 14th and 21st at 2. The director, once again, is Paige Bilitsky. And for more information on the web, facebook.com/Diva Theater Scranton. facebook.com/Diva, D-I-V-A, T-H-E-A-T-E-R, Scranton. And it's The Judas Sheep by Jeff Boehm. And it's produced by Diva Theater at the Old Brick Theater, 126 West Market Street in Scranton. And the dates are 12th, 13th, 19th, 20th, 14th, and 21st, 7:30, the evening performances, 2 o'clock the Sunday matinees.